that proverb, 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you have come to terms with that? Committed to him. And what happens? Who will bring it to pass? Okay, so that means I've taught that enough and beat that in enough that that's become real, yes? Right? Yes? So we expect and we accept that because we've delighted ourselves in the Lord, those desires live in us. We've accepted that we give them back. We commit the working of them or the doing of them to him. You okay, Golden Girls? You can't hear me? Okay. I was just quoting from Psalm 37 right now. I was quoting where we started. And feel free to raise your hand and ask if you can't hear me, baby. I'll speak. 37:4. Delight ourselves in the Lord. So we've accepted or come to accept that the desires in our heart come from us delighting in the Lord. Yes? Mike talked about hope deferred. The revelation God gave him, hope deferred is not by God, but by us. We defer our hope. And that makes our heart sick. Right? But here's what I want you to understand. Are you ready? God never loses his place in the matter. Even when you get off, and you miss the exit, God's not lost. God, let me just say it as simple as I can and move on. Listen to me. The plan God has for you, if it seems distant to you now, it's only because you've moved. God didn't lose track of what was happening because you got off track. Are you hearing that? Yes. Are you catching that? Yes. Okay, so if you believe that to be a fact, search your heart for a minute. Because you think when you mess up, and how many of us know we have messed up, you think that somehow God postponed or canceled your appointment because you messed up. Tell the truth. That's right. Maybe it ain't happened because of sin in my life. No, you off track. And it may be because of sin in your life. But that's not the point. The point is God didn't move. I need you to get that picture. God didn't move. God didn't fold his arms and send it back to UPS. He still has it. You're not getting it yet. All the promises of God, the blessings according to God are yea and amen. They are what they are. He doesn't change. Just because you got off track didn't change God's desire to save you, to heal you, to bless you, to guide you, to prosper you. You have concluded in your heart that you have to start over. Never been God's position. You got it now? You get back in the game, he'll pick it right back up like you never missed a step. I'm living proof of it. How many of you say, I know I've messed up? But guess what? It's still where you left it. Go back. Just go back. Is that encouraging? The promises of God are yea and amen. He don't change. No variation or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift. What I'm introducing you to is the next level of God's grace that's been stolen from us by religion. That grace of God, which is defined as, you listening? Unmerited favor. You know that, right? Who heard this for the first time? So you know that's a fact. Okay, just one, okay. The definition of grace in Hebrew is unmerited favor. Let's break that down real quick. What is merited? Something you worked for, something you've earned. Anything else? Something you deserve. Same phrase, line you're in, but I'm looking for a word. That works too, something you recognize for, but I'm looking for a word. You said he earned it, you worked for it, you said all the things, so as a result of that, what did I hear? No. Something else. Come on. That's the word. She said entitled, right? That's what she said, right? You have a right to it, right? You've earned it. He said unmerited means you didn't earn it. You have no right to it, but I've given it to you anyway. See, that's when it gets real. Grace is God's favor towards you that you don't even have a right to. He just did it because he could. Now, when you start looking at God's grace as God showing you favor, so let's talk about favor. We now know that you got it and you have no right to claim it, but it's yours. It's unmerited. Now let's talk about favor for a minute. What's favor? I like that. Preference. Anything else? See, this is why it's good to have this conversation, because church folk use stuff and they don't even know what it means. Is this what you say in church? I have favor with the Lord. What is that? Favor with the Lord. What is that? Well, how do you claim something that you don't even know what it is? How do you really believe in your spirit that you believe something is yours and you can't even define what it is? That's what separates me from a lot of people. I study show myself approved. It don't mean just study the Bible. Study the Bible and study what the Bible said and what that means. And break down individual words until I make sure I have a full understanding of what it means to my spirit. Yes, baby. Oh, there's the word. To be chosen above everybody else. You have somebody say, you're my favorite. That's my favorite niece. That's my favorite. That, right? Above all the other nieces, I like this one. I really don't have a favorite, but as soon as they said that, yeah, you got a favorite. You got a favorite. Listen. Everybody has a child or a niece. I love you all the same, but I favor somebody. Let's stop playing the lie game. There's somebody you prefer to be around. There's somebody you would give money to fast. If this one asks you for money, you'd be like, this one asks you for money. Before you knew it, your hand just went out. You didn't even think about it like, oh, shoot, and the other one saw me do it. Every time they ask you for something, you always just give it to them. Like, no, because they're doing things with their life that you're not. So I favor them when it comes to where I invest. It is what it is. Some of y'all in here is my favorites. It is what it is. It is what it is. Don't mean I love anybody less, but ask me who I want to hang out with. Some people I don't favor like that. Don't mean I don't like you. And the whole group is great. I don't want to spend a weekend with you. It's enough. I don't want to have to be pastor all weekend. Come, go, say hi, and go. You understand? Watch this. Unearned, undeserved, God's favorite. Only God is dope enough, powerful enough to make everybody who receives it his favorite. How deep is that? So when I say to people, I'm God's favorite, people get this little attitude. I'm like, yeah, well, that's your problem. My God is my God. I don't care what your relationship is. It ain't got nothing to do with me. He's going to keep blessing me anyway, whether you like me or not. He proved that when a whole bunch of members of the church decided to speak bad against me and say stuff. God like, yep, blessing, 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 blessing. And the table in front of the presence of your enemy. I was going through something emotionally, but my cup was runneth over. Right? Because if my ways please the Lord, he's going to take care of me no matter what. No matter what. You ever had people dislike you? Did it affect your bank account? There you have it. And if you and that same person went to the bank, they would look at their account and look at yours, and you got more money, they would favor you. It is what it is. So how powerful is it that we all can be God's favored, the one that he prefers over anyone else individually? So let's go back. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved. Because the ones we call favorites, they usually done things. That's the grandchild that calls you more than the other one. When they come around, they ain't always asking for something. They just come to see you. You can get anything from me, baby. Anything you want. That other one, they gonna have to give me a story, a song, a dance, and I'm gonna make you sit with me a couple of days, just tolerate me before I give you anything. Hear all my stories. Right? Say, pastor's real. No, can I say that stuff that you people don't, church, especially church folk don't want to admit that we still have human feelings and emotions. There's certainly family members, I just don't like them. I don't like them, period. Are you supposed to love your family? I don't like them. It. Don't tell me I have to love them. I don't have to love them. I have to love, you know, I have to do them the church love. I love them in the love of the Lord. You don't have to do it with the disclaimer. I got to give them that disclaimer love. But then there's others that I just love. I love me some Jeff. I love me some Rainey. No, not in Jesus' name. I love them. Love the kids. Love them. Anything they could ask for. I don't have to stop and say, well, let me pray about it. I must pray, see what the Lord tell me to do. I don't even feel the need to ask the Lord what he think. Here's what I think. I want to do it. Are you getting this? This is how God has chosen to feel about you. You should know I'm going to swing it back and come back deep. You've been around me long enough to know how it's going to come back. This is how God feels about you. Oh, Nellie's on the phone. God, I got to take this. I got to take this. Everybody else goes on hold. Winnie just called. All at the same time. That's the dope. He could put everybody on hold except you for every individual in this room. His switchboard must be the most high-tech thing ever. Everybody gets a personal line. God didn't give voicemail to none of those who believe they're favored. Everybody gets the direct line in and he answers it. Everything, the whole running of the universe stops when I call. Yeah. Yeah. Talk about expectation, right? Change your expectation, you change your whole life. God doesn't need to change through your prayers. God doesn't need to move through your prayers. God doesn't need to figure out how he feels about you and how if he wants to heal you or not because of your prayers. None of that has ever been an issue. It's a church lie. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed and made whole. There's no prayer that gets that into motion. That's a fact. Do you accept the favor? Do you accept the position? Do you know when you call that you are above reproach in his eyes? My baby can do no wrong. God, sometime, in my opinion, is the worst codependent parent there is. He makes it right for you. That's my baby, but that's my baby. He's a mess, yeah, but that's my baby. He got a good heart, though. You just don't know him like I do. Isn't that a beautiful picture? God make excuses for me when I don't deserve them, because he favors me. He favors me. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But he does. Now, did you learn something right there? So, this favor, this grace, this unmerited favor, I will use the word going forward, unmerited favor or favor in place of grace, because grace has been so minimized and so diluted through church doctrine and belief that kids believe grace is God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. Amen. You say in grace. Wow. After what I just explained to you, can you see what a travesty that is? That you're teaching your kids that grace is saying a nursery rhyme. So they have no understanding that when you say, baby, when we talk about grace, we're talking about God loves you. He chose you. You his favorite. You can do no wrong. He loves you. You his baby. Versus a nursery rhyme. So I will say favor going forward for this message. I want to get the reality to us that as I started talking earlier before the message came on, we are ordained by God to prosper, to be blessed, to be his favorites, unmerited favorites. We are ordained to be that. We are called to be that. It's his position that we are that if we would accept it. So, and I just that anyway? Well, let's think about it. Are you just already saved, or do you have to accept the salvation? You have to accept it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God gave me a word for somebody the other day. It was a real simple word, but it was really powerful. And I said to them, God showed you how his word is your insurance policy. So that was a powerful revelation. Said, yeah. So, but God told me to ask you a question. How do you know the benefits of your policy if you don't read it? You know that the policy is yours and you accepted the eternal life that comes with that policy. But there are a lot of other benefits in that policy that you're missing out on. That was like, amen. I received it, and the phone call ended. Shortest phone call or ministry phone call I ever had in my life. But it was just that simple truth, because I know how his mind is very intellectual. And I knew, you speak to him that way, God gave me exactly what to say, get off the phone. You have a policy. I read the Bible all day. Okay, it's not a book of spells and incantations. It's a full-blown life insurance policy. It's a will and testament left by your rich brother for you to inherit upon his demise. Don't read the Bible to find out what the rules are. Read the Bible to find out what your policy entails. See, I don't know if you'll really get that the way I'm saying it. Some of you are kind of looking at me like, he's making an analogy. That's kind of deep. No. I'm not making an analogy. It's called the old and new. What is a testament? It's your will. It's a written will and testament. The new and the old. There are two of them. And the Bible says, but the testament is not valid until the testator or the person who writes it dies. It does not have force until, if I write a will and testament and put it in your name, it means nothing until I die. He wrote it, he came, he gave his life, and he died. And that will and testament kicked into full force. And if all you know is, when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus, that's all you taking out of that will and testament that was written for you to inherit upon him being deceased. So now when you read it, stop looking for the rules, the do's and the don'ts, and you shoulds and you shouldn'ts, and look at it and say, what belongs to me? What did God leave for me in this magic vault of blessings and overcoming favor and wealth? What's in here? See, because even the do's and don'ts are not tied to you not doing and don't or else, blah, blah, blah. It's saying, if you do this, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. So the don'ts are the things that keep you outside of the promises, not to keep you in check, to line you up with the blessings. I don't know if you caught that. The word's not written to check you. That's the law. It's written to guide you to where the promises are. If you do this, you shall eat the good of the land. If you don't do this, you shall eat the bad. I can look at, see, the bad stuff. No, screw that. I want to know, so how do I eat the good stuff? I had a conversation with somebody yesterday. And I said, you know, they were talking to me about scriptures and stuff I've shared with them in Revelations that they are seeing work in their life, and it's just changing their life in so many ways. I said, you know what's funny? I shared all this stuff with you when you were in your early 20s or late teens. And you was at that jackass phase where you think you know everything. Jackass is a donkey. I'm not saying a cuss. I'm saying the Bible uses that. I put jack in front of it. Now, with that said, humor me. I said, now you're looking back at the principles I shared with you, and now you're amazed and excited at the fact that they work the way they do. She said, yes. I said, but the principles didn't change. It's your accepting of it that changed. You assume, like most jackasses do, that because that's your opinion and that's what worked for your life, but don't mean that's how it has to go for me. Who as a parent or grandparent hasn't heard that? That's your opinion. But that don't mean just because that's how it worked for you, that don't mean it's going to be that way for me. Sure, we've said it. And then time goes on and you go, oh, shoot. It works just like that. Yes. You know, you jump off a roof, you go down. You don't float, no matter how much you think you're special and different. You go straight down. That's how it works. They're called laws. Spiritual laws. Somebody say spiritual laws. They are designed to work that way. You understand? They are designed to work that way by God. How does the water know to come this far to the shore and turn around and go back? It's designed that way. It's designed that way. That the earth spins on its axis and has been spinning consistently. I love the people who come up with the bang theories and all of this. And I never believed in that even when I was an atheist. I always thought that was stupider than being religious. I thought religious people were stupid and the evolutionists were the biggest dumb idiots that ever walked the planet. That was my belief before I was a religious man. And I was atheist until I was in my 20s. But I thought they were the stupidest people because they were, listen to what I'm about to say. You're understanding when I say it. I felt like evolutionists were the stupidest people in the world because they were explaining intelligent design by happenstance. And I was smart enough as a young man to know that that made absolutely no freaking sense whatsoever. That you take an amoeba and it crawls up on the land and it gets legs and it turns into a frog and then it turns into a monkey or a little whatever and it keeps growing to an ape and it keeps coming and then all of a sudden that just stops. I kept going, so where's the new transformations? Do you have something in the zoo? I want to see something come from a monkey. You got to have something that's right on the border of jumping from monkey to man. There's something has to happen. Even as a non-believer in God, I thought they were stupid. I thought that was just stupid. It was dumb. A big bang, boom, and all these planets are in place, and the earth is just spinning day and night, 365. Okay, you, 24 hours, really? And it just sits there and keeps doing that and knows how to do winter, spring, summer, and fall. Just all of that just happened from an explosion. That's like saying, I fought it and life began. and continued to maintain itself. So what do you believe? I said, I don't believe in that, but I don't sure don't believe in that. It's hard to believe that. That takes more faith to believe that stupidity than to believe in the God thing. That's how my mind worked. When I begin to understand, here's what I begin to understand. Things are governed by things. I may not have understood what did it, but it became very clear to me that things were happening, and they were happening regularly, or they were happening according to a flow, that there was a flow that things followed. This is my walk before I got saved. Things happen in an order. And that order is controlled by something. You know I'm going to wind up somewhere. Things happen in an order. And that order is controlled by something. People say, well, what would you call it? I said, I don't know what to call it, the force. I said, the force, the aura, I don't care what you call it. I don't want to get involved with none of your stupid philosophies. I'm just saying something controls this. I've seen things in dreams and had enough experiences in my life that to know that there was a realm in the realm of the spirit, or whatever you want to call it at the time, that went beyond what I can see and understand. I knew there were forces at work, negative and positive, because I've seen them in dreams and felt things rise up in me to do things back then in the street where I was dealing drugs, that afterwards I would sit back and go, I feel horrible about that. But at the moment that I was in that moment, I felt totally right. Something took control at that moment that made me feel okay doing something that was evil. That now that I'm not in that spirit or whatever that thing was, I feel convicted about. You're talking about a straight up non-believing atheist heathen had sense enough to know that there's got to be more to it than waking up, breathing, eating, pooping, and going back to bed. Something there. I don't want to be associated with any of your religious stupidity, but I do accept that there's more to this than just everyday life. Yet Christians say they accept the spiritual, but still deal with this as everyday life and nothing more. Taking whatever comes down the pipe. The Lord got a plan and all kind of stupid stuff. No answers. No definitions. Not even seeking to know there's got to be a plan and flow that stays in its place, that keeps the tide and the ebb where it is, that keeps the earth spinning 365 days, that makes morning morning and night night in this place and that place. Where did that sun come from in the sky, and why is it there, and why is it necessary for the vegetation and the fruit and all the stuff we plant, and how come seeds reproduce after their own kind, and all of these things, like why can't I just put a seed and it be anything unless something's governing the flow? Who told apples you can only be apples? And so as a young 18, 19-year-old man, I was thinking about this stuff. I was pondering this stuff. I was researching in myself what this thing could be. What could it be? I've had people tell me, you crazy. You are crazy. But I wanted to know. So once I found out, are you listening to me now? Are you learning a little something about me? What makes me? Why I study, find what I find in the Word? Because for me, I can't take what religion throws at me. I have to study to show myself approved. I have to get before God and I have to search this out. The scripture says the deeper thing. There has to be more to it than what's been said. And even after all has been said, there still has to be more. And if laws govern everything that happens from the rip the ground up and tear down the house and all the trees grow back without nobody going across the street and planting a seed. The earth knew its state and what it was supposed to be and went back to it with nobody's assistance. That happened because of a fart in the atmosphere? Are you kidding me? Now, so let me bring it home by saying this. You're listening? I'm about to knock your socks off. Then why don't you conclude that everything in your life is governed by it? And line up with the force that governs it and stop trying to switch God's flow and get in the flow, because the trees will just automatically grow without a seed. See, you need to understand that the power of God to prosper you, bless you, heal you, all that stuff's in motion all the time in the realm of the spirit, all the time, never with a holiday, never 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether you're awake, whether you're asleep, God's promises are yea and amen. Are you listening to me? And they're always moving to do what they say they do. Just like the spirit brooded over the earth when it was dark and all God had to say is light be, bam, and light was. Let me say to you, you are not trying to be blessed. You're not trying to be prosperous. The grace of God is static. It's in place. It will never be moved. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. As long as there's heaven and earth, seed time and harvest shall not fail. That's there. All I got to do is line up. Why am I trying to fix it? Why am I trying to make it happen? Why are you trying to make it happen? Why are you trying to find out if you're blessed or not? Why are you praying for God to bless you? You are. Find out. Get in the flow. The laws work. They never go the way you want them to because you want them to. And if by mercy you get away with things a few times because judgment just has not come, that's good. But don't push it. Get down with the system. Because it works. I'm not trying to find out. I'm not trying to be a spiritual lawyer and trying to find ways to get around the stuff of God. Yeah, I know, but there ain't no place in the Bible that say you can't smoke weed. I'm not trying to come up with stuff to do what I want to do. No, I'm not saying I ain't against weed or for it. Listen, knock yourself out. I ain't mad at all. I'm just saying, but if you got to try to use spiritual statements, you know, to make it right, that means your heart's convicted. If you have to do that, something about it bothers you, maybe you need to go back to the throne and find out what the spiritual law is and not what the logic that you come up with to make yourself comfortable with it is, which is what church people are so good at, and that's why they don't see the harvest of God. I don't want to be a litigator against God. I don't want to try to figure out systems. I just want to line up with His. I am blessed. I have His favor. He favors me, and I don't deserve it. What do I need to do to just line up so that these blessings will continue to come upon me and overtake me? I don't want to struggle with things anymore. My flesh wants to, but I don't. My mind wants to, but I don't. My nature, my fallen nature wants to, but I don't. And I refuse to when the laws are in place for me to win every single time I spin the wheel. The laws are in place for me to win every time I pull a lever. I'm not talking about gambling. I'm talking about in the realm of the spirit. The laws are in place that I never fail. I'm ordained. You're ordained to prosper. Make that the title, because I was supposed to be part five or whatever. No, ordained. You can't forget that title. Let me tell you something. You are ordained to prosper. Ordained. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it like you mean it.
Hallelujah.
One more time.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.